picture that you have on your book is something that has been associated through the media, and even us. I mean, I see the book, and I'm like, hold on,
this is dangerous.
This is dangerous.
Like maybe maybe this book will now explode, you know, and kill everybody.
This is the danger.
So, what's your reaction when you see the cover of his book?
Okay. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, mashallah.
What does this represent?
La ilaha illallah, shahada.
Right, yeah. Shahada, right, you're right.
Yes.
Do you know who abused this sign and this?
No,
you don't? Who is abusing this sign?
No, I don't understand you.
Tko je zlopotrijebio ovaj znak u svijetu?
ISIL.
ISIL, yeah. That's right. Now we are putting it back in the right perspective, so people don't think this is sign of some terrorism, killing. This is sign of peace, sign of love.
Yes, and I understand.
Yeah.
Mashallah. Mashallah.
What are the things that come to your mind when you see this?
ISIS.
What?
Unfortunately, yeah.
It's ISIL. You think this is ISIL?
Yeah.
That's you see, this is not ISIL. They hijacked this sign. This is sign of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is not sign of ISIL.
You said your first.
What does it say? What does this mean? What does this mean?
Yeah, sure. You said the first reaction or what people think about it, right? But but I know what it's about. It's like there is no God but Allah.
There's nothing worthy of worship except the Creator Allah. There's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And Muhammad is a messenger.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is through media, through all these institutions. It's deliberately, wrongly percepted by the.
They abused actually the slogan, and they made it like internationally or something property for them,
right.
Hijacked whatever it means or whatever it has to say.
To take it back, it doesn't belong to them.
Yeah, absolutely, it doesn't. But media, you know,
right.
Media.
Thank you very much.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm your host, and we are in Sarajevo with our special guests. Marko Franciscovic, how are you, my brother?
Fine, thank you, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
How you been?
Fine.
It's been not too long ago since we hooked up last time.
Yes, when we met in Zagreb.
Yes.
Now we are in Sarajevo.
Yes. I feel real bad. I wasn't able to make it out to Zadar.
Yeah.
You had some really good historical places you're going to take me to.
Right.
Why don't we share? It was very, very nice to hear this story about this tree.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that? And inshallah, I can see it and bring it to the viewers in person next time.
So there is some 20 kilometers north of Zadar. This Zadar is a Croatian city on the Adriatic coast. And some more than 300 years ago, there was the most western border of the Ottoman Empire. And on this place, there was also a mosque. And the mosque was later, as Ottomans retreated back, the mosque was destroyed. But the tree was planted there, this oak tree. And since then, until today, this oak tree has grown now. It's a big tree, more than some 25 meters big. But the miracle of this tree that it never goes brown. It leaves are always green.
They're always green.
Always green. More than 300 years that the tree has leaves that don't fall off, and they are green during the winter. When all the other trees, all the other oaks, the leaves fall off, the branches are empty, you know, without leaves. But this, the green oak, is always green with leaves on it.
And this is verifiable. People can go look it up. It's called, what is the name of the tree? It's called?
The green oak.
The green oak.
Very simple.
Like the natural process of trees is that they come in season, then the leaves come out, and the season changes. And,
And here seasons come and go, but the tree is constantly green.
Yeah.
And it's a really biological, botanical miracle that there is no rational explanation for this.
Yeah.
What's going on?
These are just those I look at like signs, you know, from the Creator. You have the ultimate signs like the Quran. This is what brought you to Islam. And we talked about your story last time. Then you just have those things. It's just unexplained. How do you explain that? You know what I mean? You just can't. This is like just a blessing from God.
Right. For me, this is a sign, you know, for people who hear this story, see this tree. Hold on. Stop for a minute. Try to think about it. What This is something that is going away from the usual rhythm of life that we are pushed in, you know, to wake up, to go to work, to work, to go home, to go to sleep. And kind of we go hypnotized by this system, by this media, that we don't even think about broader things, you know. And this is one of these moments when we can stop and think, hold on, what's going on? There is something higher than this basic everyday living.
Material world, yeah.
Right, right.
And some people go to the extreme and they see that and then they'll start end up worshiping the tree.
Yeah, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
They should worship the creator.
The creator of the tree.
Right, right.
Yeah. And some people, I know there was, I don't know if you know this, they had the Scandinavians at one time, they would go ahead and knock on the tree to wake it up, to go ahead and seek blessings from the tree. And that's where you get this people knocking
on
the wood.
Right, right.
So you have even some Muslims who fell in the trap. They're culturally, let's say, we see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, I'm Muslim because, you know, my parents are Muslim, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then you see them, like, something happens good in their lives, and they knock on this wood.
On wood, yeah. You know, it's so pagan tradition.
These are pagan traditions, right? Yeah, so that's another lesson, that if we seek all blessings are from the creator of the heavens and the earth, and it's that pure monotheism. And it was interesting, when we were talking, when we met up yesterday, I was thinking, I was like, wow, we're sitting here having these discussions, intellectual discussions, you know, academic discussions, you know, based to try to figure out how to disseminate truth to people. And is that different from where you'll have, and I was like, listen, we're not sitting here. It was just interesting because I can imagine some circles where they're calling certain people dirty, vile names, and especially in some of these regions, and even with the growing trend of Islamophobia, where people like label people with most, they have this venom and hate in them. And I was just thinking, I was like, wow, look, in these discussions that I've had with people, there is no like putting down of, let's say, a certain group of people or whatnot. It's really out of love, trying to get truth to people, but not by calling people dirty, disgusting names, or, you know, trying. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, not to humiliate.
Humiliate
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, to give them respect.
Yeah.
Even if you don't agree with them, you know, treat the other human being with respect. You know, that's the way how we can better connect to each other and send our message to be received.
Yeah.
Because if we start, you know, with hard arguments, even if we are right, even if right is on our side, we have to be with some, you know, kindness, not to be brutal to our opponent. Mm-hmm. So we can give them a chance to for them to express themselves, so their ego doesn't block them in perceptions of what we want to say to them.
Yeah, and that's what you do in your new book. You just you wrote a new book, and you have three chapters to it.
Yeah, this is my new book.
That's your new book. See, right off the bat, someone is gonna really, because the picture that you have on your book is something that has been associated through the media. And even us, I mean, I see the book and I'm like, hold on, like,
this is dangerous.
This is dangerous.
Like, maybe this book will now explode, you know, and kill everybody.
And you actually have here, Hrvatski is called
Jihad.
And now you also have, not only do you have a provocative picture here that's associated with, you know, they'll have what we'll perceive, this is a terrorist, let's say, with this behind his, in the background. Right. And then you have Jihad on your book. Can you go ahead and elaborate why you put such a provocative, you know, on your book, a picture on your book and title?
Right. The main motive is that these words and these symbols, you know, now are presented as a negative, as a symbol of terrorism, as a symbol of senseless killing, It's an abuse of these symbols and of this word, because the real meaning is totally opposite. It's an inversion of truth, what we are now living in. And these forces, these evil forces, they're like criminals. They stole this from the Muslims and they put them in this negative context. And now I'm saying with this book and with this cover, I'm not going to bow to you and to your perspective that you want to push to all our world. I'm taking this back and I'm putting it in the right perspective, you know.
You're doing a rebranding?
Rebranding, yeah. Exactly, that's the right word. For example, this name, Jihad, you know, people who are, you know, fed by the media, they automatically think Jihad is killing of, it's a war, it's a killing, you know, of other people, it's a conflict. But Jihad is struggle within. That's the big, the main Jihad. And it's the hardest Jihad. And this is a Jihad that never ends. Everybody of us, every morning when we wake up, we go into Jihad, you know, not to fall into our, you know, weaknesses. Everybody had some weaknesses, some soft points, and we have to fight to not to go this way, bad way, to be on the right way, to be honorable, to be fair, to be nice. This is Jihad.
Yeah.
This is Jihad, with which we personally fight. Also, we have, this is on individual level, but also there is Jihad on collective level, as a ethnic group, as a people. You know, we have to make ourselves better, you know. People also individually and collectively like to blame always somebody else for their problems, you know. It's not my fault, his fault, he made me do it, they made me do it, also. Yes, maybe they did make some, you know, some interventions. But first, concentrate on yourself. Make yourself better. Make yourself stronger, so you don't fall under others' influence. Then, you know, we can maybe speak about these outside influences. But first, focus on yourself. Make yourself better. And this is the main idea of Jihad.
Yeah.
And this is called the big Jihad. And this small Jihad, when you want to defend yourselves if somebody attacks you, this is this Jihad, small Jihad, when you are rightfully defending yourself from the attack of, from if somebody attacks you, and you have all the right to do so, and even you have the obligation. If you are father of your family, if somebody attacks your family, what will you do? You will defend your family. But to defend it in the best way, you have to go through this big Jihad, you know, yeah, to make yourself stronger, to arm yourself. But arm with what? When you say you have to arm yourself, everybody thinks, oh, you have to take arms. Yes, but hold on. First, arm yourself spiritually. Arm yourself intellectually. Seek knowledge. Arm yourself with knowledge. And then after all this, then you can arm yourself if it's needed, with guns, and whatever, swords, whatever is needed. And when you have this knowledge, right knowledge, then you will not fall in the trap to go into fight with somebody who is maybe not your real enemy. Maybe your real enemy is somebody else. Because if you have a lack of knowledge, you don't know how to recognize who is your real friend, who is your real enemy. So you go into fight in the wrong directions. So without good knowledge, you cannot wage a proper war.
Yeah. So people usually think it's such a beautiful word, and we as Muslims also, those, and I usually define words, Muslim simply one who submits his will or her will to the creator of the heavens and earth. Jesus was a Muslim, right. Abraham, the last and final messenger of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him all. They all did jihad to convey the truth. So individual jihad, struggle. So it's a struggle. It's not holy war.
Right.
This is also a false narrative that people push, that jihad equals holy war. But you have, like you said, an individual struggle to wake up for morning prayer, Fajr.
Right. That's it.
Get out of the bed. That's your struggle. First struggle in the morning.
I'm tired. I want to sleep.
You want to sleep, right? Then the next one hits you, right? Let's say you're trying to get married. That's a huge jihad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get married. You're not trying, like the norm is to jump from this man, this woman, promiscuity, mm-hmm, sexual immorality, to lower your gaze. That is a daily struggle.
Every day struggle.
Every day, you know. Some people just started practicing Islam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Submission to the creator, not the creation. And they are used to going to the nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And their friends are calling them up. And they're like, listen, we'll pay your way. Mm-hmm. We'll get you through the line. We'll get you in through the back door, like Goodfellas, right through the back door. You got to do a struggle, a jihad, not to go to that place.
Nice girls are waiting for you, you know.
That's a huge struggle, right? So you have police doing jihad against the criminals. Then, like you were saying, at a higher level, the military jihad, right? The state protect themselves from invading forces. So this is just something simple. Jihad is in the Bible.
Right.
It's in the Bible, right? It's there. But so when you define these words and not let people play with you because you're ignorant and then they put the smoke in your eyes mm-hmm. and you just get hypnotized, it's very easy to understand. And that's why you put it to provoke thought on your book.
Right, right. To provoke because it's like Aikido principle, you know.
Yeah.
Take, you know, these evil forces of the world, they took these symbols, these words, and they pushed their narrative.
Yeah.
So, through mass media, through all these institutions, they programmed people on the mass level, you know, with this wrong understanding of this.
Yeah.
But then I'm using this, what they did, it doesn't matter if it is in the negative context. I'm using this negative context to get attention, you know. And when I got attention, okay. And when somebody will open this book and read it, then they will find, oh, it's completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what I heard about. It's not what they told me that is, you know. But I said, it's Aikido principle, you know. Don't confront your enemy directly, but take their force and redirect it in the right way.
I can go on and on. It's just a beautiful term, a beautiful concept, struggling and striving to be a good human being, to worship one God and one God alone and be morally upright. Ibn al-Qayyim, one great scholar in Islam, he has 13 points that he talks about jihad. One of them is conveying the truth, you know, sharing the truth. And this is what you're doing through this book.
I'm trying to do it in my best possible way.
Now someone says, but why do you have this picture that's associated again with so much negativity?
Right, exactly, because it is associated with negativity and it is wrong, it is a deception. They made a big deception with this symbol, with this flag, you know, in all these videos you can see, you know, all these brutal killings, senseless killings, you know, which doesn't represent Islam. It's made so the public view would be, you know, Islam is madness, Islam is doesn't want peace, Islam is only about war, killing, and Islam is all the opposite.
Yeah.
All the opposite.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So they put this you know, this symbol, which is symbol of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
What does it translate? What is being said there?
La ilaha illallah, and Muhammad is the prophet of God.
La ilaha illallah. So first, that is pretty much what Jesus said.
Right.
Moses said that. Every messenger that was sent for humanity said this statement.
Right.
A negation that I'm not going to worship creation.
Right.
And affirming that you only worship the one God, the Creator.
And you see what they did with this holy message from all the messengers of God. They put it in the negative context as a something that we should be afraid of.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm not let you do that.
Someone hijacked it.
Hijacked it, right.
Are you trying to take it back and rebrand it?
Right, right.
Yeah, with the truth.
We should not submit to their terms of engagement, you know, mm-hmm. because it's not, they're not playing fair. They're playing dirty. And as a Muslim, I see an obligation, you know, to put this in the right perspective.
Every time when I make the correlation between Jesus, who obviously some people in these parts, they don't know that to be a Muslim, you have to believe in Jesus as one of the mightiest messengers ever sent to mankind. He never ever, we have a challenge to this day. You'll get paid $100,000 if you can ever show where he ever said, I'm God, worship me. You won't find it. But he did say, La ilaha illallah.
Right.
He said, there's nothing worthy of worship except the one God.
Right.
It's in the Lord's prayer. O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
Right.
He is attributing all power to the Creator. I believe it's in God, John 17:3, where he said, this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God. La ilaha illallah, pretty much. And Jesus, who you have sent. He was a messenger sent by God. He proclaimed this. If you were living during his time, you would have to say that. And then instead of saying Muhammad Rasulullah, you would say Isa, Jesus, the messenger of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Musa, Moses, the messenger at his time. Today, the final messenger is Prophet Muhammad until the end of time. And you have, and this is what led you, you looked at the proof and the evidence, right? It wasn't just an something where you blocked your mind. You had to go up against a lot to make that decision if this was really the truth.
Right, because it brought on me, you know, very...
A lot of hardship.
A lot of hardship, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's worth, you know, because the final award is enormous.
You're a true warrior. A warrior in the sense, you know, they had this this Navy SEAL, he wrote a book for kids, and he talks about, you know, being a warrior, standing on good principles, you know, being honest, upright. And many people, they'll get in a cage, let's say, and fight, and I see them. But when it comes to standing for truth, you know, you got people fighting in backyards, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fought, when I had to count how many fights I had on the street, it can pass 50, you know what I mean?
Right.
People, that's just a part of sometimes, you know, we think courage is sitting here and just throwing a few punches. But that's the greatest jihad. Is let me see, if you're going to be a man in the ring, you can fight. But let me see, when the truth is to be conveyed, are you going to buckle by your knees?
Right.
That's a warrior.
And to not only, but to say the truth in the face of somebody who has lots of power, to the face of Pharaoh.
Yeah. So you being there in Zagreb, being in you're just a man by yourself almost, you know what I mean? You have a community, you know, small community, but man, this is a warriorship. You're a warrior, brother.
And you see, it's funny, you haven't read this book, you know, but the book begins with words, exactly. Here, he says, I'm a warrior.
Oh, warrior, you would say, this is like...
This is the beginning of the book, you know, and then I explain the meaning of that. Exactly what you said. You're speaking like you read the book, but you didn't.
I didn't read the book. We're taking those terms, and that's why I mentioned this Navy SEAL, Jocko. He's famous back for motivational, and he talks about like God, state. He talks about, and this is a kid's book, you know, and he talks about these terms. And it's like, wow, it's like if we talk about this, it's like, hold on. If Muslims talk about warrior, if they talk about some of these concepts, jihad, struggling, striving for righteousness, they're going to be like, man, this guy's terrorist. What's going on? But as soon as someone else, it's like they took these concepts from Islam, it's okay.
Right.
But with us, it's off limits. So you're reclaiming these things back.
I'm reclaiming it back. God willing, it will get back in the right perspective. And because the truth is on our side. So essentially, we don't have to put... because when somebody is lying, he always has to think, what did I say? I have to remember, you know, what trick did I use? But when you are telling the truth, it's easy. You can so easily always repeat... you don't get in contradictions, you know. You're not. You're much more. Your mind is more free to speak, you know.
Yeah. What I tell usually people, because there's so many things that we can talk about as humans, but one thing I really highlight, I say, look, please, because if we lie about God, well, how can you trust us on anything else? So look at the concept of God in Islam. Look at this pure mind. Just look at what we're talking about, the Creator, and see if it fits with your nature, your instinct, compass, moral compass. And then from there, if that makes sense, everything else will slowly fall in place. But if you can't get this right, a lot of things are. But then also you have other people, because you had, for instance, the uncle of the Prophet.
Right.
He didn't accept Islam. But he supported the deen. So then you also have people like, because it's God Almighty is the one who guides. So you have Abu Talib, but then you have Abu Jahl, right? So just so people, open-minded, good-hearted people can sit and, like we were talking about earlier, that some people, there's so many layers of darkness, right? That people have been programmed, you know, to believe, you know, something that's totally the opposite. But if we can get people to, you know, to see us, Islam in action through our good manners and akhlaq, and then we can connect. Even if they disagree, you know, they want to worship a tree, go ahead. But they see that we stand for justice. We stand for morality, the good things, wholesome things. Like we had Owen Benjamin, this Christian.
Yeah,
he used to bash Islam and everything. Now he's someone who went from Abu Jahl to Abu Talib, right? He's speaking good. We made this connection.
Yeah, I saw this show. It was a great show. And what you're saying is exactly right. Yeah.
Tell me, in there, now, so we know what Islam stands for, we know what our mission is to promote goodness, worship of one God, morality, and all these things that just if it connects with human beings. And the opposite you portray, you show in your book, the, you know, injustices, oppression. And it's interesting, we talked about all these things that people attack us on. It seems like I asked the question, in 50 years, which Muslim country attacked another Muslim country? You know, you have the oppression of the Uyghurs, you have the right now in Kashmir, you have the Palestinian issue. Do you discuss some of these things?
Yes, yes. I discuss them when I have my comments, even in some interviews. And especially in this book, I'm going through this historical and geopolitical way of the world,
yeah.
especially regarding Jerusalem and the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Yeah. So you discussed that.
Yes, yes.
See, when a lot of time when I first heard that, I was like, hold on, because there's so many like we call them rabbit holes.
Mm-hmm.
You're busy with life, work, you know, you're going about your business, and someone mentions Third Temple, and you're like, come on, man, I got time for this. What this some conspiracy theory stuff? But then you start researching and you see like, you know, I heard this from others, then I hear from you. I say, what's going on? Am I not keen? And I'm about to talk about mm-hmm. it. You know, so I go investigate, and this is some mainstream stuff it's becoming mainstream. It's not mainstream in the US, but it's something that's not hidden. You don't have to look deep research in it.
Just you have to take some time and very easily to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
But people don't have time. Even if they have some free time, they're spending this time in all these distractions. I don't know, NBA, football, whatever. You know, there are lots of these distractions.
Too many,
people spend their free time instead of researching the essential and important things for them, for their families, and for the society, to know what's going on. But if your life goes, you know, worshiping some, media, from Hollywood actress, whatever.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, nonsense. Then of course that you won't find out about Third Temple, about usury. And why your wages are so low, you know. You complain my wages is so low, I need more money to understand people, you know, to feed my family, everyday living. But you have to find out, why is that so? What's going on? Why, how come that this human progress? Now, if you compare, for example, just some 100 years ago, what we were able to do, one man, you know, now with all this modern technology, is stronger. He has a more production capability than 1,000 men only 100 years ago. You know, all this information technology. You know, now we can type in, you know, to calculate something. It goes in seconds. You got the result before. All teams of men should, you know, calculate by hand. You know, it was hard work to do to calculate something that we are now taking for granted. And the question is, if now one man has a productive capability of 1,000 men before, why this one man doesn't have at least not 1,000 but maybe 10 times more bigger salary? Where is the difference? Who took all this higher productivity, who took this away? Mm-hmm. And when you research it, the answer is the usury. The usury is the problem of the world. All this technological progress is not beneficial for the ordinary man.
Yeah.
Because the problems of the working man are almost the same 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. But it shouldn't be. If you look at this technological progress, then the standard of living and the capability should be better. But now it's even worse, because also 100 years ago, it was, I can say example in the United States, you know, or the beginning of the 20th century, it was normal that the husband works and he can provide for all of his family. Women didn't have to work.
There used to be one garage, now right. We have two. I was asking, why is there only one garage? Some houses back home, because it was like this, you're saying.
Yeah, one man could provide for his family.
Yeah.
he could feed his family, and the families were bigger. There were more children then. Women didn't have to go to work. But what is going on then? Then the World War One comes, and it was all part of this strategy program, you know, about Zionism, Third Temple, and this New World Order. And they put men on the front to wage war for their interest, and put women in the factories to work. And when men returned back, the women remained in the factory, and then the men also worked. So now we have a husband and wife, mother and father, doing the job. And who is taking care of the children?
I heard this was systematically set up also, that now you have more people to tax.
Right, right.
Kids are taken out from the institution of the home where the right. parents are raising them. Now the institution is raising them. They're out there in the school being programmed
right, right.
for a certain in a certain way that is conditioning.
Yeah, that's it. And the user is the problem that takes away all this technological progress.
Yeah.
Instead of that. And even now, it should be easier for men of the home, men of the family, to provide for all his family, so his wife can stay home, educate kids, take care of the children.
But you're backwards now, brother. We're living in the 20th century. That's in the Stone Age. What do you say?
What is backwards? What is backwards about taking care of the children? I don't know what is backwards in this idea. What is backwards that women, you know? It's God made them, you know, to give birth to the children, to feed them. As a man, can you feed the children?
No.
Can I?
You mean breastfeeding?
Breastfeeding, yes, yeah. Yes, breastfeeding babies. So women are the ones who can do it, not us. So instead of what is going on now, instead of breastfeeding babies, soon after they deliver the baby, they have to go back to work. And who is the feeding baby? Industrial food. You have to buy industrial food, but nothing.
Similac in the baby glorified junk food. It's junk destroying food, the kids' right. immune system.
Nothing can replace mother's milk.
That
nothing.
Is the first power of nutrition right there that the Creator gave us. Yeah.
Exactly. Nothing can be better than that. And
But now they have her worrying about what's going to happen to my breast. Is it going to give off? And
all this nonsense idea, you know.
They've been pushed. She's been victimized.
Look at this Hollywood actress, how she looks, you know. Fit in or so on, and people they push frustrations, you know, I don't look like that, and then unfortunately lots of them think my children are to blame, that I'm out of shape and so on.
Yeah, but she's actually a nation builder.
Right,
she's
right.
building a nation. So you take her from being a nation builder to what, being taking orders as a secretary. Or the cocktail waitress you know.
To
so help. You went from obeying the Creator to obeying the boss.
Right, right.
But you have smart women. Sometimes they go through all of this. And again, Islam doesn't like limit the woman that she cannot, you know, whatnot.
No. It's of most important that women, that mothers are educated. But
yes.
Because who is giving the
you
primal...
You have to be educated. You have to.
Who is the first teacher of the children, of the babies? It's the mother.
Yeah.
If she is not educated, then the children are not getting proper education. So
I mean, you get out, you know, you're shoveling snow, get the car out, you know, driving in traffic, then you got to get there and then, you know, be mixing around men. And then you hear the disgusting things from the locker rooms. You know how men are,
right,
you know,
right.
Talk during lunch break. Did you see her? Look how she looked, the curve, this, you know, disgusting things. Deal with all of this sexual harassment and all that. And then she finally realized, like, man. I got it made here. Actually, I got a guy. Allah gave me a sugar daddy. He takes care of me.
Right.
I didn't have to actually work. I don't have to go through this. I could be educated. I could start a business on my own. But I don't have to be mixing with all these men you know, going through all of this humiliation.
Potential problems. And
it's big potential. Right. Look at all the sex scandals now that we had.
The
whole Me Too movement and all that.
Right, right, right. Especially in the army. You see, even now in Croatia. As Croatia entered this NATO pact and these modern standards of the military, in the United States, it's official statistics. How many of these women soldiers get abused in the army? It's in the hundreds of thousands.
What? How many?
Hundreds of thousands.
These are females in the...
Females in the military.
Yeah.
Because it's unnatural, you know, especially in military environment. And I am a military man. I went through the war and everything. I have... good military, you know, background. And I know what military is.
In the former Yugoslavia?
Former Yugoslavia and in Croatia, War of Independence. Yeah. And it's especially in the time of war. But even without war, when you got, you know, in boot camps and everything, these are extreme conditions, you know. Even when it's cold, you know, as a soldier, you know, you sleep in small places in the bunker. What can a woman, if a woman is, you know, it's...
Now you're talking about close quarter contact.
Yes.
She's actually hotter by nature.
Right. So it's... and also, this is interesting. By only if you look strictly militarily, women's are a distraction in the fight because of the psychology of men.
Wow, I didn't think...
Yeah. No. Because, you know, if we as a man go as a group, I don't have even subliminally urge to protect you as I have urge to protect a woman.
Yeah.
And this is breaking up all the, you know, tactical level,
yeah,
which we are trained. So effectiveness of the military is pushed down by this pushing women in this side, so in the army. So the question is, what is the reason of this? What are they pushing in? It's not to have a better military, but it's to destroy the society.
And this is the actual oppression of women.
Right.
And the sad thing is, you're being oppressed, you don't even see it. You see it as liberation, but it's enslavement.
Right. Exactly. And they're doing it by all the means. It's called, it's in an official Pentagon document, it's called full spectrum dominance. I don't know if you heard about that. Full spectrum dominance.
No.
They have this. It's all something more than 20 years old. This program, you know, we will dominate not only the sphere of classical military action. We will dominate in psychology war, in the media, in a spiritual sense. You have even in U.S. military, you have this spiritual war.
Yeah.
Famous guy is now he's retired. Is this General Michael Aquino?
Yes.
You heard of him?
No.
Yeah. He was active. U.S. military officer, high active U.S. Uh-huh. military officer for this branch of psychological warfare.
Yes.
And he, parallel with this, he was first with this guy who founded in San Francisco this Church of Satan.
Yeah.
And then he got in some disagreement with this guy, what is his name, this Church of Satan in San Francisco. I cannot remember, but he got in some argument with him, and he separately founded the Temple of Set.
Yes.
This is open, pure Satanism. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to hide, you know. And he is parallel with this open, pure Satanism, that he is a high priest of that Temple of Set.
Yes.
He is doing psychological operation in the U.S. Army.
Wow.
And this is something I put these links maybe a few years ago on my Facebook profile. I was astounded when I found this, you know, that officially U.S. military, not U.S. military, U.S. Congress has allowed into U.S. military servicemen to have sex with animals, because before it was forbidden for soldiers to have sex with animals. Now it's legally approved. So U.S. soldiers can have sex with animals.
This is a... Yeah. What do you mean?
I will send you this link.
You
can read it.
How is this bestiality?
Bestiality, right.
How is this? I don't understand.
It's madness. You see, it's incredible. When you see it, you cannot believe it, but it's true. You will see. U.S. Congress approved that no more U.S. soldiers who are found to have sex with animals, bestiality, they won't be prosecuted.
Yeah.
It's another level of rage against God and His creation.
It reminds me of so many women who are reaching their 50s, 60s, and they pursue their careers. They've accomplished, you know, the diplomas. Right. They missed their fertility window. They didn't have, you know, a family, kids, and they're in a state of regret. They're in a deep state of regret. You have so many, because now they've achieved the worldly things, but they're all alone. There's no one to care for them.
Right.
They didn't have a family. They didn't do these things that are most pleasing to God Almighty, the
and
Creator.
Pleasing to them also.
And to them.
Right.
And to them.
They feel something is missing.
Something's missing. Right. They've been suckered.
Right.
Yeah, so now you're going totally in this direction that's been painted to you. by these dark forces, mm-hmm. like, go, the happiness is here, go get it. Mm-hmm. But then you're forgetting about the divine guidance that's been given to you by Allah, that's most pleasing, for you. It's a benefit for you. And then now at the end, you're just like, you can't get married now. You can't, you've accomplished all these things and you don't have a family. You don't have the beauties, the richness of life. And
then you get into depression.
Then you mental health issues now.
Right. And then you go to the psychiatrist. They prescribe you some drugs.
That's a whole other rabbit hole, right? Yeah.
And then unfortunately, you end up, drugged up, totally, unhappy, and there are lots of suicides.
Yeah.
Lots of people, at the end of this road, they end up killing themselves because they don't see any purpose of life.
Yeah.
And this is Satan's final victory to push people to commit suicide, to give up of the life, to offend the Creator who gave us this gift of life.
Yeah, we know that Islam has guaranteed rights and justice. There's nothing. I recently had a guest on who says, one scholar of Islam, he challenges people, find me one thing in Islam that's harmful for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this liberation. There's so many women, and we often ask people, ask the Muslim woman why she's wearing what Jesus' mother Mary wore, mm-hmm. the hijab, the modest dress and whatnot, and why she accepted. There's more women accepting Islam. So that's a whole different topic, but for anyone who wants to research, you'll see the rights that women were given way before any woman today had any of these rights.
Yeah.
But what do you think when you hear this whole movement with, we'll touch upon this for a second, this whole feminist movement and all these things, what do you think about that?
It's also part of this global program of destroying the humanity and pushing them in the self-destruction. They're giving these false premises that women are living hard under men, that they are discriminated because, men are always beating them and all this bad stuff going on, which is, there are some extreme examples of that, but this is not the nature of men, as it is not the nature of women to live without a man. Because this feminism, finally, ends up saying we don't need men in our life.
It goes to that extreme. Man.
Right, right. We don't need men in life. It's better without men. And if you watch these Hollywood movies, all this on TV that they are producing these different, soap operas, whatever they're pushing out, they are always having this, especially in action movies, superheroes. You see Wonder Woman, Superwoman. And she's, beating all the men, which is absolutely out of the reality, that small woman, maybe 60, 70 kilos, heavy, that she's, taking some guy who is as much stronger, she's beating him up. So when small girls are watching this propaganda, they say, I can beat a man easily, I can do this, I can do that, what are they pushing, I don't need men in my life, I can dominate as it is shown here in the movie, but the reality life is completely different. And then there is a clash between this perception from the media propaganda and from the pushed culture and the reality. And then when these collide, then there is also problems inside of them. This is why they then unusually lots of, if you've seen these protests of these feminists, they are hardly aggressive. They're aggressive to the, especially proclaiming these rights of killing unborn babies. They're proclaiming this is our right. We have the right to do it. And if you even try to, I've seen on YouTube many of these examples when somebody is peacefully just having a sign, stop killing babies. These hardcore feminists come to them and attack them. They should not have a right to their opinion because they say just the expression of what you are thinking is something that should be banned and should be by force, removed.
Yeah.
And but they don't understand that They are proclaiming, and they are even labeling them as, you know, I don't know, fascist, and this, you know, etiquettes, you know, they're putting on, but they don't see that they themselves are the one who is making the oppression, who are making the aggression, and who are going against themselves finally.
Yeah. These are hypocrisies you see. Like, these are the same people who would be in a frenzy because, let's say, a Muslim wants to circumcise a baby, mm-hmm. right? It has so many benefits, traditions from, you know, since the beginning, and they get in a frenzy. But then you have, you know, full babies in their last trimester. Mm-hmm. They're murdering them.
Yeah.
You get the contrast.
Yeah.
So they want to champion the baby's rights. You know, they go crazy because you're going to circumcise the foreskin.
But it's okay to kill the baby.
It's okay. It's crazy.
And even if you know what the term is, late term abortion.
Yeah.
It's abortion after the birth.
Now they have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to have what, like, two doctors approve or something that, and that's it. They can do it. That's crazy. That's how it just keeps sinking lower and lower. This immorality. This is really troubling. It's really it's like people have been bewitched. You know, it's like under spells. These satanic dark forces, and people aren't seeing clear. That's why the guidance from the Creator. It's there. We need it more than ever.
Yes, because this is organized on the high level. As I said, you see this example of this. Michael Aquino, high U.S. commander of this psychological war, he's parallel with that, this Satanist, open Satanist. You know?
Yeah.
So you can see that into the institutions of the state and all this corporate media are those kind of people who are openly, now even without hiding, practicing and advancing this Satanism, this Luciferianism, and all this kind of of madness. You know.
This morality we're talking about is something that any God-conscious, someone who says, yeah, I believe in God, you know what I mean? This just makes sense. These kind of things, these are just moral things that we're bringing to the table, shining light on. I don't know how, you know, and these other things are just clear paganism. This is like modern-day paganism that's running like a dog with rabies, you know, running rampant, as they say.
Yeah. And unfortunately, people who are disconnected with the Creator, they are much more easily manipulated. And
that's a good point. When you're disconnected from your Creator,
then it's much more easier, you know, to fall in this. There are thousands of traps, you know, laying around, especially for a young generation, for young kings who are now. Who are in their development phase. They are not fully formed as a person. And they are much more vulnerable to this propaganda, to this all the bad ways, bad directions that they have the opportunity to choose.
Yeah. I heard this statement where God wants to dress you, they want to undress you.
Right.
So why is it we keep seeing that, you know, one time in America, you can get actually a ticket, like if you had the, you know, the dress above the shin. Now, what's the significance? How does that represent freedom if you're just so uncomfortable and now it's become above the knee, right? Tomorrow, who's to say that, okay, we're going to get it up to the, you know, at one point, even the woman who had, you know, let's say the skirt above the knee, if the one has it to her thigh, she'll call her hooker.
Right.
But it's leading to that. Pretty soon you'll be walking in the G-string, you know what I mean? But who sets the trends, I'm asking?
The media, this institution, they are setting the trends. And regarding this, the trends are also, through the media, pushed to ban Muslim women to have a hijab. You know about that? That hijab should be not allowed in Europe. I think in France, They even had this law that wearing a hijab, if you are a public worker, you know, it's not allowed.
Yeah.
So they are even prohibiting woman who is freely by her own free will, wants to wear hijab, want to cover like Mother of Jesus did.
Yeah.
It's not allowed.
So I'm talking here. I can understand, just for argument's sake, if you're not God conscious, why would you want her covered? You know, because the man wants to see more, right?
Yeah.
If he can go to the strip club all the time, you know what I mean? If he can get prostitutes and hookers and have more, he wants to...
But do you know what's when you speak about strip clubs? You know, there is one phenomenon in strip clubs which can explain something, you know. In strip clubs, you know, all the women walk around completely naked, you know, mm-hmm. nothing on them.
Yeah.
But on the bar, there is a waitress. She has at least something on, you know.
Yes, she's dressed.
She's dressed. And most of the men, almost all, are hitting on her.
They're hitting on the one.
You see, yeah. Because men, even unconsciously, want to you know, to...
They're hitting on the person, the woman in the who's has the clothes on in the strip club.
Right, right. Yeah. Because even, you know, what's the challenge, you know, when everything is open? You know, yeah. there's no charm in it. There is
no respect, no charm.
No. Because there is no this process of connection, you know, yeah. discovering each other. You know, there should be a nice, natural process to find out about each other more, you know, to go deeper into this connection.
Leave some for the imagination,
right,
they say.
Right. But when it's all out in the open, you know, there's no motivation. There's no.
So if you're Jew, if you're Christian, if you're a God-conscious person, right, you can relate to what we're saying,
right?
But if you're just someone who's disconnected, no morality compass, it's like, why would you agree with this? You would actually champion and say, like, no, this is the way to go forward. We're progressing. This is modernity.
This is progressing by undressing the woman.
Yeah. It reminds me when they used to have, did you know they had zoos in America at one time? They had human zoos.
No?
Yeah, they had human zoos in America. You can look this up. And they were parading at one point, you know, Dr. Norman Finkelstein, have you heard of him?
Right.
There's a paraphrasing a statement he made. He says, you know, when we came over here, he said to the, you know, to see the Native Americans, and they didn't have clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
We called them barbarians. We called them, you know, all these mm-hmm. dirty names because they were uncivilized. But the women at that time, they had three layers of clothes, just like the Muslim woman.
Right.
Now the Muslim woman is covered like Jesus' mother, mm-hmm. Mary. She's in this modest dress, and we're calling them uncivilized while we're naked.
It's all, everything is turned upside down.
Yeah.
Upside down. I didn't know about these human zoos.
Yeah.
I know about human zoos in Europe. Belgian king in Belgium had these human zoos. He took from Belgian Congo in Africa. Yeah. He took slaves and he exposed them in Brussels.
Yeah.
In the same way.
This is one of those rabbit holes also. Right. You're just amazed at what humans we would do. They would take, you know... these were the white Americans, Europeans at that time, who were taking the Native Americans and others, African Americans, and they would, you know, put them in these
cages.
These cages for people to come see and observe and like animals.
Right.
Yeah. So these are the kind of things. Going back to what you were saying that you discussed there, I myself am not a conspiracy theorist, even though this term, I know it was created by a certain organization.
By CIA.
To label someone, anyone who goes against the mainstream, they'll put this on you to go ahead and, you know, have you look like you're some strange fringe element.
Yes, to ridicule them, you know, to...
But I'm just a person, like, if somebody comes to me and, you know, the mainstream is that there's a Santa Claus coming down the chimney, a tooth fairy, I question these things, you know what I mean? If something doesn't logically make sense, and this is what Islam calls us to be awakened, to question. Allah tells us in the Quran, if someone comes to you, you know, fasik, you know, a liar, if someone comes to you, you need to verify it. We need to verify things. So that's the kind of person I am. I'm sure you're the same way.
Right.
But I don't go down these holes looking for, oh, this person did this, that, and you know, I don't do that. But there's some things that are just obviously plain in the open, and I don't just swallow everything. Like no Muslim should just swallow everything that's fitna. We have to see how shaitan has his traps and tricks into this, right? And do our research, do our due diligence.
To search for knowledge.
Search for knowledge, yes.
Yeah.
Be awoken. Yeah. You know, Islam awakens you to the reality. And then when I was investigating this that you have in your book, I see that this actually brings... these concepts, what the Creator Allah is talking about in the Quran, it brings to life. You know, ayahs come to mind. They plant. Allah plants. Allah is the best of planners. Another ayahs, it talks about there's no good in their secret meetings. You know what I mean? So it brings the Quran, the reality of these things that are happening, that most people they're not aware of. It brings it to light and it connects you more with the Quran and really the reality of things that are going on beyond us. But people are just like sheep following blindly.
Right. And this is what I'm writing here about. We talked about this, you know, geopolitical, what's going on today, and how did it come to this, you know, because this was a long-term process, you know, in this situation that we have this Zionist entity of Israel, that we have this world monetary system which is completely controlled by the Zionists into their service, and that the world is progressing into this, this is famous term, New World Order. But what is this New World Order?
We hear this, term, and that's one of those, again, you hear this and you think, okay, this is just like some conspiracy theorists, and they're just, making some stuff up, and you're like, I don't have time for that, but there's some things behind the scenes that are going on, and what does this term
but
mean?
They're not regarding this term. It is not even behind the scenes. You know, you can find, you know, in the public speeches of George Bush Senior, and even before, these high level politicians, they are openly saying we will bring up, we will build up this new world order. They pushed this term into the public sphere. You know.
What does this mean, though? What is it, when you hear this, what does this actually mean?
It means, you know, this is the New World Order. Is the now we are going into, we must have this theological awareness.
We hear globalization, New World Order, what is
that? Yes, but what is the final goal? You know, the final goal,
what is it?
The center, this is what I'm writing, the center of the geopolitical movement in this world is in Jerusalem, is to be more concrete, it's Dome of the Rock. Everything is going, you know, correlated with the Dome of the Rock, because the final stage of this New World Order, and the New World Order cannot be finalized without rebuilding of the Third Temple.
So this is like trying to facilitate, when I was looking into it, this fulfillment of some prophecies.
Right, right.
Because in Islam, there's prophecies. There's things that the Prophet Muhammad and Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they talked about. But we don't try to expiate this and, you know, make things.
And in Christianity, in Bible, there are also prophecies.
Uh-huh.
So, and there are in Judaism, there are also prophecies, and especially in Talmudic Judaism. There is a differentiation between, you know, Talmudic Judaism and Torah Judaism.
So Torah is what we believe as Muslims was given in its original.
Right.
We don't have its original.
Right. This it's lost.
It's lost. But what was given in its original to Musa alayhi salam, Moses, we believe in this.
Right.
Right. So then Talmudic will be totally, this is the human beings, tafsir, this is what they're conspiring from their minds, making up stuff.
Yes.
But this is not divinely sent.
No.
This is not.
But they say it is. You know, we have to trust them. You see, the beginning of Talmudic religious concept is that Talmud is above Torah.
So that's like saying it's above divine guidance.
Right, exactly.
So we can't accept that. Because Torah is mentioned in the Quran,
right.
What was given to Moses in its original, we have to accept that he was given this, this divine scripture. Right.
Right. And here they say Talmud is above Torah, and so in a way, man as a human being is building himself up above the Creator.
Yeah. So let's this prophecy, so people can understand. This is found where, in the Torah that they're saying, or is this in the Talmudic?
In Talmudic.
This is in there.
In there. Right.
Okay. So again, this is now human. Human concepts that are put, and that they're deriving this from that.
Right, right. Human, but this is my interpretation. Not only human, but this dark spiritual background is in this Talmudic.
So dark, you're gonna have shaitanic forces
right.
Okay. So now
who are inspiring such a prophecies.
So then, what do you have? Now you have this based on this is not divine guidance. These prophecies. And now this has to do with Al-Aqsa. We have three holy places. You know, you have in Mecca, Medina, and then you have Al-Aqsa for the Muslims, right? This is where all the prophets have met,
right?
So we have a deep history here. And now what are they saying with this prophecy supposed to happen, that they're trying to facilitate it?
This is this New World Order and this ruler of their... They are waiting, so Talmudic Jews, they are waiting for the Messiah. They don't accept Jesus.
No, but he came.
They don't.
Jesus.
No. Jesus.
Isa.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus, right.
Isn't it, if you pay J-E, how you spell it? J-E-S-U-S. Let's take off the J, because there were no J's in the Hebrew or Aramaic.
Yeah,
what do you have?
Isa.
Isus, right? That's the one that mentioned the Quran.
In Croatian, we pronounce it Isus.
In Croatian, Isus.
Right.
How did, so this is, he is, we were saying that he's not...
He's for Talmudic Judaism, he's not the Messiah. Not only that Jesus is not the Messiah, but in Talmud you can find these verses where it's written horrible things about Jesus and his mother.
Now you can verify this.
Right.
About Jesus and his... I want to make a disclaimer here.
Right.
This is very important because you cannot, as a Muslim, be anti-Semitic. You
can't, right.
Because the prophets, Jesus was Semitic. You know, Prophet Muhammad was Semitic, so it's oxymoron. You cannot be anti-Semitic. You even had scholars at that time who looked in. Jews came in that area expecting a prophet to come. That was Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And there was many scholars who accepted Islam. Right? I remember a funeral procession that was going. You know that? And the Prophet said, final messenger said to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He stood up, and the companion said, "Why are you standing up?" Right? It's a Jewish procession. He said, isn't that a human soul?
Right.
So we don't hate any group of people. We hate injustices that are done. So I just wanted to make this disclaimer. Because you have so many Jews coming to Islam. We have to treat every human being with dignity, honor, and respect.
Right. And here in my book, this second chapter, I have this discussion with one Croatian Jew who...
Your friend, actually.
My friend. Yeah. Exactly, my friend. Who is now late, no more alive, but he was my good friend. And he was, you can say, the principal honorable Jew who was a hardcore anti-Zionist.
Yeah, I have a good friend. He's Israeli Jewish, Miko Pillard.
Right.
He's a friend of mine. I have Rabbi Weiss. I've had him on the program. You know, these are, I would say, you know, people, Miko is a friend of mine. These are, so there's nothing like we hate these people, this and that. No, it's about getting to the bottom of things and getting to the truth.
Right.
So where were we going? What were you saying?
So there's these prophecies in this Talmudic concept. And the main thing is they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They're waiting for their Messiah to come.
This would solve the problem right now.
Right.
If they accept Jesus, which 100%.
Right.
100%. There's no doubt about it. The evidence is clear. How can you miss this? This is deep. He is the Messiah.
Yeah.
He's not God, literal son of God. He's the Messiah.
He's
the messenger.
I will now represent their side.
Go ahead.
Their argument is, if Jesus was the Messiah, then he would then conquer all the world and bring peace in all the world.
When he comes back, he will.
They wanted them then to do it.
Oh, they want to do it on their time.
Right. They want their terms. They don't want to subject to the gods, you know, will.
Yeah.
They want their terms to be as they want it to be.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So
now, if I'm understanding this correctly, so they want to facilitate this building of the Temple of Jerusalem.
Right.
And that now is where Masjid al-Aqsa is. So they want to remove this?
Masjid al-Aqsa, and more important even on this exact place where the third temple should be built is this Dome of the Rock.
Yeah.
This golden, you know, when you see these pictures of Jerusalem, there's this golden...
The picture we see is not actually, it's back, that's not the real one, right?
Which one?
The picture of Masjid al-Aqsa, you know, with the real big, there's it's behind.
This with the golden dome.
Yeah.
This is not Al-Aqsa. This is Dome of the Rock.
That's the Dome of the Rock.
The Al-Aqsa is 100 meters on the side.
On the side.
And its dome is silver.
So which one do they want to destroy?
This with the golden dome.
So the Masjid al-Aqsa is not going to be...
Probably we build two because it's nearby, you know. But the focus point is this Dome of the Rock. This is the exact place where third temple should be rebuilt because previously first and second temple were there.
Yeah, so this is not a conspiracy theory.
Anyone
who investigate this, you can see that this is politicians
you have,
are
if
talking
you go,
about
if you
it.
Go,
everybody's talking
yeah,
about it.
If you go to the
except the Muslims.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we are Muslims and we are talking about it.
Yes.
If you go to Jerusalem, you can find in Jerusalem, just nearby this Temple Mount, is the Temple Institute, run by Talmudic Jews.
Yeah.
You can go inside, you can even online see what's going on. And they are preparing for the rebuild of the Third Temple. Openly, it's nothing hidden. It's openly totally, that they are proclaiming this, they are wanting to push it up, to hurry it up, you know, as soon as possible. Everything is ready, you know, they are preparing services, they are preparing all this temple regalia, you know, these candlesticks, whatever they need. Everything is prepared. Even stones are prepared nearby. Yeah.
Everything's getting in preparation. I heard
everything is preparation.
Years ago, this started off as just talk, but then it facilitated into mainstream.
Yeah.
I see the mainstream, like Washington Post. What's the newspaper out there?
Haaretz, Jerusalem Post.
They've talked about it.
They're talking about it in the political sphere, in this Netanyahu coalition government, because Netanyahu is this Likud party, but they cannot form on its own. He has to go into coalition with this small extreme right, radical groups, you know, who are pushing for this. But also Netanyahu is just more, you know, he seems to be more liberal, should you say. But they are all pushing for this rebuilding of the Third Temple. And the Trump, President Trump, U.S. President, he's in this Temple Institute. You can find gold coins that are melted, you know, coined with Trump and Cyrus the Great, because they are seeing the Trump and they're portraying the Trump as the Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great was the Persian emperor who liberated Jews from the Babylonian slavehood and returned them back to Jerusalem and allowed them and helped them to rebuild the temple. It was the rebuilding of the second temple, because the first temple was destroyed. And Cyrus the Great helped them rebuild the second temple. Now they are portraying and pushing Trump as a personification of even reincarnation, but we don't believe in reincarnation, but they are spinning it this way, of the Cyrus the Great, and that he will help these Zionist Jews to rebuild the temple, as the Cyrus the Great did 2,500 years ago, yes.
They have pictures when American politicians come. I've seen that they actually have a blueprint of it.
Right.
Drawn up, and they're showing it.
Not only blueprint, they have this small scale, you know, how do you say, you know, small scale model.
Yeah.
Model of the Third Temple. Everything is there, you know. And by all the means, they are pushing this rebuilding of the Third Temple. But to rebuild it, they have to destroy Dome of the Rock and probably Al-Aqsa Mosque, but these are all holy Muslim places, and it's our obligation to do whatever we can, you know, to stop them, to not let them do it, because lots of world will go through lots of pain if they go in this move, because without destruction they cannot do it. And destruction means, you know, that war will wage. But war is waging right now, but it will wage on much larger scale. Mm-hmm.
And so tell us more about this prophecy. So what are they expecting? They're expecting to build this, to remove Masjid al-Aqsa, to build this temple, the Jerusalem temple. So that's why did they call it the Third Temple?
Because the second temple was destroyed in here by the Romans.
So what, first one destroyed, second destroyed?
Second destroyed.
So this would be the third. That's how we got third temple.
Right.
Temple Mount.
On Temple Mount. This whole area, this whole complex is called Temple Mount.
Okay, so now they want to review this sacred. I mean, you really got to just, you know, be way out there. You to do something so vile and oppressive to a people, you want to just take this sacred. They know this is so sacred to the Muslims. It's Masjid
al-Aqsa. They say it's more sacred to them.
Yeah. So now you don't. What do the real Orthodox Jews, like the rabbis, the ones that were originally there, were against?
Right.
You know, this.
So what, you have these Jews, rabbis. They are now in minority who are anti-Zionist, and their concept, their interpretation.
They're the real Jews.
Right. Their interpretation of this problem is, hold on, unfortunately, they also don't recognize Jesus as Messiah. They also wait for their Messiah.
Yeah.
But they are anti-Zionist. Why? Because they say, we cannot rebuild the Third Temple We must wait for Messiah to come. He will rebuild it. These are anti-Zionists saying this. And they are against the state of Israel, and they are not...
Jews, these are Jews.
Jews, yeah.
I'm Jews. Muslim. These are Jews against...
This. Jew rabbis. Yeah, okay. This Rabbi Weiss is one of them, you know.
The chief Jew of Palestine at that time, the chief Mufti, right. Like say Mufti Jew, like right. You would say the chief, he was also against them.
Right.
Because they were living together in peace with right. Muslims. There wasn't right. this catastrophe that's no, happening no. now. Jews and Muslims were living together, watching each other's kids. Everything right. was right. very calm and peaceful.
Right. And this now they come these Zionist Jews, Zionist rabbis, and they are now, unfortunately, they are dominant one. And they have all the power. And they're saying, no, we shall not wait for the Messiah to come. We must rebuild the temple, because when we rebuild it, then Messiah will come. He won't come. He's waiting for us to build it. Yeah. When we build it, then he will come. And this is the reason why they're pushing for this temple to be rebuilt, because their belief is that without rebuild of this third temple, Messiah won't come.
Yeah, they're just wasting their time because he came already. and at the same time, you're undermining, you know, the plan of the divine. You don't, like, hurry up God's missions, whatever is going to happen. You don't make it on your time clock. There's no proof. We have proof. It's different. You had something divinely sent, and we can go ahead and scrutinize it, saying that this is 100% from God. This is what He wants you to do. You don't have that.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, God Almighty sent through all the messengers that you worship God Almighty alone. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. This is clear. Mm. He never revealed Trinity. He never revealed any of these pagan concepts. Pure monotheism, that's 100% proof for that.
Right.
That Jesus was a messenger, 100% proof. That Moses was a messenger, that Prophet Muhammad is the last and final messenger. These are tangible things that you can scrutinize the evidence that
right,
came.
Right.
The Quran is a testable book. You can look at it, examine it as it was revealed back then. We have it today memorized by millions, prophecies in there. There are facts, not fiction. You can test the book.
Yes, if you're honest, if you take your time to research it, you will find the answers.
You can actually, they've done a study. This is a study, a scientific study that you can even differentiate. They've done this analysis where the words of the Quran and the words of Prophet Muhammad, that they have done studies that, I can send you the article. I had one of my guests send this to me, that you know how that we have the Quran, and this is the verbatim speech
right.
of the divine, of Allah, the creator, and then they have the hadith, authentic
right.
sunnah, the sayings of Prophet Muhammad. They've decoded that these are totally different than these.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Right. So this is how we can challenge and test. And when we have a chain, this is science, a chain linking back all the way to Prophet Muhammad, there's no chain here.
No,
linking
no.
to Moses or any.
Nothing. It's all make-believe, you know.
Yeah. So now this is like drama show.
It's
making major drama.
Like Shakespeare said, all the whole world is a stage, you know.
Yeah.
And they're playing this drama. And they have actors, and they have a director in the background.
Yeah.
And they have their script, and they're playing by the script. And this script is, you know, we must rebuild the third temple, and then this Messiah will come, and he will give us worldly rule. We will rule all the world. Mm-hmm. This is this Talmudic Judaism concept.
You have, Iraq invaded. How many millions of people killed on the
right.
presence of weapons of mass destruction. You have today, you know, Kashmir, the Uyghur Muslims, 2 million plus. I'm making these examples because Muslims, some of the most peaceful, you, in every group you have fringe elements
right.
that do crazy, you know, things opposite to Islam, actually. But you have these Muslims who want to make their 5 daily prayers. They have a general guarantee for paradise. If we are God conscious, we live on the pure Tawheed, we do good deeds, so we want to help make this more peaceful, sustainable peace for all,
right?
Share this message, not to force anything. So we just want to live peacefully. But these people bringing the drama, attacking, blowing up stuff, and then flipping the script and say, you're the terrorist.
Right, right. This is modus operandi, how they're working. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And this is it. We must see what they're doing, not be ignorant. Not to turn our head away, especially when we see our brothers, doesn't matter if Muslim or non-Muslim, when we see another human being, another group of people who are oppressed, who are suffering, who are under injustice, we are obligated to help them as much as possible we can. Mm-hmm. If we turn our head on the other way, ignore this injustice, then we are not on the right path.
But it doesn't mean like some people construe like, oh, to put a bomb on yourself and to go kill innocent children with violence.
No.
We're not talking about
this
that.
This is playing in today's script. This is playing in today's script to do these things, you know. Yeah. And this is why they established this so-called Islamic State, which is also, there is no problem to prove it, that CIA, Mossad, all these secret agency are behind the creation of so-called Islamic State, this ISIS, you know.
Someone mentioned something about ISIS standing for, I didn't say this, I'm just quoting, I've heard this, Israeli secret
Intelligence Service, right. It's from the mouth of the Israeli intelligent insider.
Interesting. So when you come back, let's say this prophecy, they say, what are they expecting if they build this? And what are they expecting then to happen? The Messiah comes, and what happens then to all the? Because you also have Christians who are been misled, and they're following
Christian Zionism.
So what happens? What's the scheme of thing? What the plot? What happens when they rebuild it, and what's supposed to facilitate from there?
When they rebuild it, they say then Messiah will appear, and he will establish world peace. And when you listen to them, it sounds very reasonable and peaceful. But how this world peace would look, you know, that them as a Jews, as a God's chosen people, they are literally, this is also in Talmudic, you know, ideology written, that they are the only representation of men, truly made by God on God's image. All other non-Jews are on the lower level, you know, even on the level of animals. And God have created us non-Jews.
This is the Zionists are saying this.
Talmud is saying
we'll call this. Them we can call them the Talmudis.
Talmudis, maybe, yeah.
The Talmudis. Good term.
Yeah, yeah. So we are all made to look, to appear human, but we are in fact animals, made as the humans so we can better serve them. So it's more pleasing to them for us to serve them. So when then Messiah comes, every Jew, this is Talmudic interpretation.
The Talmudis are saying,
right?
This.
Every Jew will have some 2,000, 648, I don't know exact number. It's these terms. Non-Jews, goyim, as they say, goyim, slaves.
Can this be academically like verified and researched?
Yes, you can
check this out.
You can hear it and them saying it. Mm-hmm. I will send you all these links. Adam Green is doing a great job regarding this. You know. Everybody can go on his channel. He's got plentiful on information. Adam Green and also other YouTube channel Israeli News Live, which is run by American Jew, and he is also putting this all.
So this is another Israeli who's running this.
He's American. He's an American Jew who is having this Israeli
what's
news.
That called? It's called
Israeli News Live.
Yeah.
And he's also explaining much better than me because he's American, he speaks English.
Yeah.
And you can find plentiful information about this, what I'm talking about.
So what's going to happen to the Christians now who are support, the Christians who have been misled by this, who are, because there's a lot of Christians who haven't been suckered by this, they don't fall into this, but it's a shame that you have a lot of, you know, politicians and, you know, Christians who claim to be Christian, even though Jesus doesn't support any of this. Mm-hmm. So what happens to them?
To the Christians?
Yeah.
Well, from the Talmudic perspective, Talmudis, you know, they will be all slaves of the Jews. And they will follow this Messiah, this peace. Everybody who will not be willing to subject and recognize this Messiah that they are waiting, who is not Jesus, who is not Jesus, you know, from their perspective, he will be eliminated.
Okay, this is a strange relationship.
Right.
This is really strange. So if this comes, there's really no benefit to the Christians here. They're going to be...
These Christian Zionists, their reasoning is, okay, we know that they are not now recognizing Jesus, but when we rebuild the temple, yes, the Antichrist will come into the temple, but this will hurry up, you know, the coming back of the Jesus who will defeat the Antichrist. And then all these Jews who didn't recognize Jesus, then they will recognize him as a true Messiah. This is their reason. So we are helping them to rebuild the temple. So we hurry up, you know, speed up the return of the Jesus by, you know, by helping the Antichrist. You know, it's a completely complete madness.
So on one end, the Talmudis, they're going to actually eliminate them or enslave them.
Right.
And then the other ones, when the ends of times, I think in Revelations, in the Bibles, they talk about this, where Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who, again, we don't say any thing that is negative about Jesus, because he's a great messenger in Islam, you know, saying any filthy, dirty thing can land you in a hellfire. Right. We say peace be upon him. But according to the Bible, in Revelations, it talks about at these end of times that Jesus is going to come with a sword, you know, from his mouth.
Right.
And he's going to slay his enemies.
Right.
And so they believe now that these are the enemies. If they don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, now they're going to slay them.
Right, right. Jesus is going to slay them. Right.
So it's a kind of unique relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody has his own reasoning.
Yeah.
And they're now in this together, you know, they made a pact. And they try to push this rebuilding of the third temple. Momentarily, he's openly proclaiming himself as a Christian Zionist is Mike Pompeo, this U.S. Secretary of State at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pompeo is hardcore Christian Zionist. And he's all these evangelical preachers in the United States with their flock, you know, they are preaching this theology, we must love Israel, we must help Israel, we must, you know, without any doubt, you know, give them all the help to rebuild, to establish this third temple, because this will, you know, speed up the return of the Jesus, and he will save us all.
But you have on one end, I mean, we're actually closer to the Christians if you look at the respect and honor we give to Jesus' mother. On one end, you have a certain group of people saying that she's, you know, the most vile. I don't even want to repeat some of the most disgusting things that they say about her. That you can verify this.
Right.
And also saying that Jesus will be in the depths of hellfire. Mm-hmm. Over here, if we even said something close to that, we can end up in the hellfire. Mm-hmm. We say, peace be upon him.
Right.
And this is that Christian, Owen Benjamin, who actually, he recognized that. He recognized how much respect and reverence. And then many of his followers, we had so many comments of people saying
that. You don't remember. I have lots of comments here, as I am Muslim, ignorant people who say, now you are Muslim, you betrayed Jesus, you know.
Yeah. What do you say to that?
You're absolutely wrong, you know. I didn't betray Jesus. And now as a Muslim, I even more closer to Jesus, you know. Yeah. That I was before, because I now know more clearly what it's all about, and without these false, you know, ideas that as a Christian I had, you know, Jesus is God and this Holy Trinity and so on. So I am now even more close to Jesus. There is no betrayal, you know, because they don't know. They literally don't know that Muslims respect Jesus, love Jesus, and that Jesus is also their prophet, their messenger of God. They don't know it. They think Muslims are only, you know, connected, following Muhammad, peace be upon him, and this is it. Muhammad and nothing else.
Yeah.
It's a complete ignorance. And then they are in this state of ignorance, they are sticking labels, you know, you betrayed Jesus, you hate Jesus, and so on.
There's too much. We got to be rational, logical. If you look at the evidence, if you look at, you know, not even we go to the Quran. If you just look the clear evidence, the clear verses compared to the ambiguous.
Right.
If you look at, you know, we honor him and respect him, as even in, I believe in Acts, it talks about here, O men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God with wonders and miracles that God did by him.
Right,
you follow me? He talks about the Father is greater than I. You can't, you know, he's subordinate to a higher being, to the Creator. God doesn't take orders, but Jesus was taking orders from the Creator. So as much as you manipulate the text and twist it to mean this and that, you know, I and the Father are one, these vague verses, before Abraham was I am, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God. If you compare that to the clear verses, you know, the Father is greater than I can of myself do nothing. Why do you call me good? There's none but good but one God. Of the day and hour knows no man, you know, neither the angels nor the Son, but the Father alone. Mm. It shows that he was a human being, but not just like any human being. He was a prophet, a messenger, conveying the message that God Almighty sent through him, like Moses and Abraham and the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, calling people to only worship one God, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God. That's logical. It makes sense.
Absolutely.
But then you get emotional, and the church program you to believe a certain way, and you have this storyline, and then it's not based on clear proof and evidence, and now your heart is attached to that instead of the clear evidence and proof.
Yeah. But as I said yesterday, you know, I have my belief as a Muslim, you also.
Yeah.
We have our beliefs. Christians have small difference.
We don't have to fight about it.
Right. You should not fight about it. Let's see. What connects us together? We believe in Jesus, okay. You as a Christian believe in Jesus as a messenger of God. I do also.
That's a good point. Yeah, they also believe he's a messenger.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So
the Bible said he's a messenger.
Right, right. So we believe that Jesus is alive. Yes, where is he? He's in heaven, right?
We believe also. So now you're connecting more commonalities.
We believe that Jesus will come back. Yeah, we believe.
We raise our hands.
Yeah. What is our differences? You believe he is God, we don't believe he is God. Okay, I can leave your faith to you, my faith to me.
Yeah.
But we believe that he will come back. We both believe that he will come back. So when he comes back, he will solve our differences.
Done. And who's the God that you believe in? The God Jesus believed in.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. And there should be no problem at all between Muslims and Christians.
Really, it should.
Because Jesus... instead, they made it this way, that question of Jesus is separation between Christians and Muslims. But Jesus should put us close together.
Peace be upon him.
Peace be upon him, right.
Yeah,
right.
And then if you look at it, being a true Christian, in the Gospels you have honor your father and mother. Look, in the Gospel of Matthew where they came to Jesus and said, Oh, good master, what good thing can I do that I may have eternal life? Why do you call me good? He says, there's one good but God.
Right.
And if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. Then he lists the command, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, steal, you know, honor your father and mother, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right.
And this is not restricted to, you know, just another Christian. Right. This is for your neighbor, Muslim.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. He even talked about loving your enemies.
Right, right.
So why are you hating the Muslims so much?
It's a program. It's a program of this.
Programming.
Programming, yes. Programming, because who is benefiting from this?
That's a question right
there. Who is benefiting from this? Who is benefiting from this rise of hatred and in ignorance? Because when you are in knowledge, when you know these facts, these things, then you cannot, there is no place for the hate.
Yeah.
But when you are put in a state of ignorance through all this media, as we said, through all this false education, through all this means of hypnotizing and pushing people in the wrong directions, then they can make this, you know, hatred and people are like programmed, you know, and then they just push the buttons and people react emotionally, without reasoning. They react emotionally and then all bad things happen.
Yeah. And then we cannot focus on more of those because there's so much commonality. Like we talk about the abortion, immorality, losing our children to much of the materialism. Those are things, common good things that we agree on, we can work on.
Right, right.
With some things there's husband and wife, they don't agree on certain things. You have Republican and Democrat in the same house.
Right.
They don't agree. We're Jews and Christian neighbors. We can agree to disagree on some things, but there's other greater things that we can agree on. Let's work towards that common good.
The true Christians are against abortion, right?
Yeah.
Muslims, who are real Muslims, are against abortions. Great. We can we can work together to stop this abortion, you know, or killing of babies. No matter if they are Christian or Muslim or Jew or atheist, we don't want to have babies killed in the mother wombs. So we can. There are so plenty of areas we can work together on mutual benefit.
Mm-hmm. Let's finish off. We're almost out of time. You talked about dealing with hurt and pain also in your book.
Right, right. Hurt and pain, it was my personal experience. It was during, you know, these clashes with police when I was hurt. I had this
broken my neck. I had this pain in my...
Your neck was broke?
Yes, here on the...
You had a fracture?
Fracture, yes. Yeah. Yes, because when police, you know, put me on the floor, you can see it on YouTube how it was all done. Five policemen got on top of me, you know, they so forcefully, you know, moved my head and crushed me, so so I had these problems, and it was hard pain that I was going for weeks going on without, you know, without even sleep, how hard this pain was. And God, thanks to God, you know, I overcame this also by some, not to say miracle, but by help of my friends who connected me with this therapy with cold showers. Mm-hmm. You know, because I tried everything. I tried massages. I went to the doctors to medical treatments. Nothing helped. Nothing helped. But eventually what helped me was, you know, going under the cold shower. And all this change of, you know, habits, for example, not to drink coffee.
Yeah.
For example, coffee. I don't drink coffee. Because coffee has these negative effects on your metabolism, and it makes you harder to recover when you have any health issues. Mm-hmm. So by doing this cold shower, I finally recovered, you know, and I could function normally. This is in short yeah. version of all this. And here in book, I'm describing this period of enormous pain, and how it affected me, you know, and how in balance with this loss of pain, I put a lot of love, you know. So, and it's kind of like a product. So to come, you know, to true revelation, to true knowledge, you must go through process of pain. Nothing comes easy. There is a culture here, especially in Western civilization, you know, I want everything and want it easy without putting any effort into it, without even the pain, because whatever, even studying, you know, it's not easy. You know, it requires you, you know, to sit, you know, to give lots of effort, you know, to do the job or whatever job other you're doing, you know, you must put lots of your energy into it. And sometimes you suffer, it's a process of life. But this suffering, it can go two ways. It can crash you, it can stop you, or if you overcome it, it makes you stronger. And this extreme pain made me extremely more stronger. When I overcome it, it made me not to be afraid of some things that most of people are afraid, you know.
Yes.
What will happen to me if I speak this and that? Okay, I agree with you. Lots of time I hear from the people. Yes, Marco, I agree with you completely. But if I say this, then I will lose my job, I will have problems, and so on and so on. This is also kind of pain that he's afraid of. He's enslaved. But this potential pain and potential hardship that he knows that he'll face. And this is holding him back, and it's holding people back for doing the right thing. And I'm saying, no, you should not be afraid of that. You should kind of embrace this problem, embrace the problem, and deal with them. And you will see, with God's help, you will overcome them. Not by your own strength, because also here, nothing is resolved with purely my own will and strength. No, with God's help, it's overcome. But I have to also actively participate in this, not to be passive. And this is the thing what we said. Unfortunately, lots of Muslims today are too passive. You know, they're only watching, and they're not taking the initiative to resolve the problems, to see what's going on. We have the best solution. It's given to us. We have all the answers, but it's not proper. This is my interpretation. Okay, we have the best solution. We don't have to do nothing. Allah will provide it. Allah will solve it. without me, without my participation. No, 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 no. You are also called to give your effort into this resolving of whatever problem that there is. Not to be, you know, so lazy even, you know, yes. And afraid to go into battle, to go into resolving problems, facing your enemies, facing the problems, and with faith. And if you are honest, if your intentions are good and honest, and then you are sincere, then there is no doubt that God will help you, God will protect you, God will give you instructions in any which way there is, because everything is under God's command. He controls the whole history, and we have just to be conscious of that and to see these signs. As we began this our conversation, the sign of green oak is one of these signs which is here given to us. You see, I can do what no man can do. It's in front of your face. Don't have doubts. Don't be afraid of these worldly powers. Don't be afraid of these Zionists. They have, of course, they have all the control of the complete world monetary system. They have all the control of the most mighty military power in the world, United States. Yes, they have these mighty weapons. They have this media control, Hollywood control, cultural control. Yes, they have all this worldly power. But there is a power above them that created all that they are holding. The one who created everything. He is the one with real power. And we should lean on this power. We should have trust in his power and not be afraid of them. Be afraid of Allah. What will he say to you when you face the final judgment? This is the final experience of this process of going through the pain and coming to the from the extreme pain to this big love that is there waiting for us, mm-hmm. to embrace us, to give us strength, to whatever we need, we'll have it.
I really enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah.
How can people, because the book is now, we're talking to an English audience, but right. The book is not in English.
It's not in English, it should be translated to English. There are lots of things.
That's a good idea. If there is a sponsor who wants to translate, to take this project on,
right.
They can go ahead and contact you,
right,
and
yes.
They can go ahead and
contact
sponsor.
You or me. Yes.
You can contact Marco directly and go ahead. You can find him. Where can they find you? On Facebook?
On Facebook, yes, my Facebook profile.
That's a good one. If you want to sponsor the translation of this book in English.
Yes. There are lots of, we didn't have time to touch on these items. Here at what I write about this geopolitical, you know, context about Cold War, East and West, and how all this big stage, you know, yeah. And how it was prepared, you know, for the Zionist project. All these informations are here explained, so when the reader reads it, he'll be in better understanding how it was done. And when you know how it was done, then you can know better what will be next and how to prepare, how to have the proper answers for what is coming.
Yeah, but the book is in, if you're Bosnian, Croatian, Serbian, that language you can understand.
Yes, yes, everybody can understand it. It's it's a common
inshallah word. We get it translated in many
inshallah.
Languages, and hopefully first we get it in English and get it out there and we can be talking about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's very nice seeing
thank
you.
Thank you, Eddie. Nice to see you, and inshallah, see you again.
Inshallah, God willing, and we started with peace and we end with peace, because that's a greeting of Jesus. It's a greeting of Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. So we're people of peace, trying to live peace with our Creator, peace within ourselves. And if you like what we talked about, you have some feedback, leave it in the comments below. And you can do your small part and share. Help create awareness, getting the truth out there, family and friends and others. And we'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't already so you can get all the latest programs that we put out there. And we'll see you next time here on The Dean Show, God willing, inshallah. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum from Sarajevo.